Today I do. I want to talk just for a few minutes to all of us dads. I want to challenge us if I can. And really, honestly, I say us because there's a lot of fathers in this room today, Brother Carl, who are so much further advanced in this fathering thing than I am. And like many of you in this room today, I too am still right in the thick of this fathering thing with one that's going to be 14 years old a week from today. God, I cannot believe that. And an 8-year-old boy. And I'm telling you, I'm down in the muck and the mire of this fathering thing right now. So I'm still trying to figure it out myself. And so I want to talk to all of us for a little while today. I'll let you moms and wives, I'll let y'all listen in for a little while, but on this Father's Day today, I really wanted to use like a visual example. I thought maybe it would be kind of cool to use like a movie, specifically maybe like a real guy's movie. You know what I'm talking about, Gladiator, Russell Crowe, you know, a real good man's dad movie is Taken, Liam Neeson, you know the one I'm talking about. I was going down and trying to think of all of the best guy movies. You know, they're the ones that you watch when your wife and kids have to go out of town for the weekend or something, you're kind of batching it for the weekend. You know what I'm talking about? That's when you pull those off of Netflix and you watch those. There's blood and guts and all that fun stuff, and there's weapons and fighting and all that cool stuff that us guys love. And so I was trying to think of what's the very best one. And the best guy movie I could think of, above all, was Finding Nemo. Finding Nemo. This movie, it's about a father. He's a clownfish, and his name is Marlin, and he's this guy. He's a guy fish, and he's overly cautious. He's anxious. He's scared. He's got a son named Nemo who through peer pressure goes a little too close to the surface, and next thing you know, Nemo is scooped up by a net, and now he's in an aquarium, and Dad just wants to get his son home. Marlin the clownfish just wants to get his boy back home. He's afraid, and he doesn't really want to leave home, but it's amazing what a dad will do when he knows that his kid needs him. A pretty good guy movie for Father's Day today, I believe, is Finding Nemo. I know what you're all thinking right now, all of you guys. You're thinking it's Father's Day. I mean, why not, like, Jack Bauer? I mean, why not maybe a little bit of Rocky in this? How about the movie Remember the Titans? The truth is, there are so many great guy movies and characters to choose from, but yes, I thought Nemo was the most appropriate for today. There really are some great guy movie lines from many guy movies, like Coach Boone in Remember the Titans when he says, "I don't scratch my head unless it itches. I don't dance unless I hear music. I will not be intimidated," and that's just the way it is. No, we're going to go with Finding Nemo today. An anxious clownfish named Marlin who has a kid in need, and he'll do whatever it takes to get him back. You show me a dad who will do whatever it takes to reach his kid, and I'll show you a real superhero. A good father in our world, in our society today, is the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and unappreciated individuals in our society. Pope John said this. He says, "It's easier for a father to have children than for children to have a real father." There's an unsung dad hero in Scripture that I want to draw from his life today. I want to draw from his example today. And truthfully, this character is not spoken of very many times in messages on Father's Day. There's so many great examples throughout Scripture and so many great fathers that we could look at. But on this particular Father's Day, I want to look at one that is not used very often when speaking of a father. We do know this. We know that he was a good man. We know that he was responsible. We know that he taught his children a trade, that he taught them to honor their mother. We know that he taught his children the importance of God's house and the value of worship. But we don't hear a lot on Father's Day about Joseph. I'm not talking about Joseph, the hero to the Israelites who preserved them in their time of famine. I'm not talking about the Old Testament Joseph. I'm talking about Joseph, the earthly father, maybe some say the adopted father of Jesus himself. And the reason I'm looking at this character today is because just like Marlin the fish in Finding Nemo, Joseph doesn't come on the scene as this gladiator type. He doesn't have this gladiator approach to life. He's not a Russell Crowe. He's more like Marlin the clownfish. So in Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her until she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name, Joseph called his name, Jesus." Truth is, many times, I'm sure you're the same way I am, many times in looking at and studying scripture, I can get stuck sometimes. I can kind of get stuck in between the written words. It's not the letters in the words in black and red ink that confuse me and where I get stuck. It's those white spaces in between. It's those places where I can just kind of begin to suppose a little bit or wonder or maybe have questions in between the line. Sometimes I get stuck in that white space in between the words. There's questions that I'd like to write in those white spaces. Is anyone else like me? You understand and you see what you're reading, but then there's so much more that you're not seeing and you're not reading. And I have a few questions for Joseph. Have you ever just stopped to ponder and wonder what it must have been like as Joseph to literally be raising the Son of God? I mean, you talk, guys, dads, we think we have pressure today. But I mean, could you imagine raising in your household the Savior of the world? I want to ask Joseph sometimes, Joseph, did you and your son Jesus, did y'all ever arm wrestle? Like, and when you did he let you win? Because I mean, we all know that he was God. I mean, he could defeat anything he wanted to. I often want to ask him too, like, what about that whole water to wine thing? Like, Joseph, how many times did you make him do that at your house before he did it at the wedding party? Nervous laugh in the room. And what about Joseph himself? Whatever happened to him? We know that he was a very important character in Act 1 of Jesus' life. He's all over the story, but once Jesus becomes a teenager, we just kind of lose track of him. There's not much mentioned or said about him. Many believe that he died at a young age, and we really don't know, but the story doesn't bear it out in the black and white, in the words, in the letters. So we have to read other accounts. We got to try to figure out what's going on in the spaces between. But here's what we do know. We do know that he had an impact in the world. He had an impact in Jesus's life, in his earthly life. We know that he made a difference in his life. We do know that he taught his son and that he raised him well. We know that Joseph the carpenter taught his boy a trade because they would refer to Jesus as the carpenter, and he learned this from his earthly daddy. Joseph taught him how to work. He taught him how to measure twice and cut once. We know that Joseph taught him the importance of going to the house of worship and the value of worship. We read later in Jesus' adult life that he would go to the temple as was his custom. He learned this from his daddy. He would go to prayer, and his daddy taught him this. We know that he learned how to honor and respect those in authority. We know that he learned how to honor his mother, and no doubt he learned this from his dad, to the point that when Jesus was dying on the cross, he remembered what was instilled in him from his dad, and he said to his good friend John that was there at the foot of the cross and his own mother Mary, and he said to John, "Take her, this is now your mother. Take care of mama." This is, I believe, the reason why we don't The reason why we see Joseph in this light, he didn't come on the scene like a Samson. He didn't come on the scene like a Gideon does. He comes on the scene more like a Marlin. And there's a lot of questions that we have about this guy, Joseph, but what we do know about him is that he was a great dad. He served his purpose as a great dad to the Savior of the world. I want to clarify right now that dads, we don't always have all the answers. As much as we try to fool you and make you think that we do, we don't have it all figured out. And that's why we'll say things like this when we're posed with those questions from our kids. You know the comeback, you know the phrase, go ask your mother. That's what we do. And what we're actually saying is I'm so afraid to answer this question, you need to go ask your mama. And I love the verbiage of this text that we just read. I read it from the New King James Version, but I want to reference it for a few minutes from the Message Version. And in verse 19, we see that Joseph doesn't have it all figured out. Listen to what it says in the Message. It says, Joseph, chagrined but noble. Chagrined but noble. Chagrined means that he was distressed. He was perplexed. He was troubled and frustrated and overwhelmed. Things in his life were not looking very good. He didn't like the circumstances that he was in, but he maintained a nobility in the middle of instability. In the middle of all of his questions, there was still something noble about Joseph. And I need to hear this today. As a dad, I need to hear this today because let's be honest, dads, most of us in our own minds, we are superheroes, right? I mean, we've got it figured out, and we are superheroes. We don't see ourselves as Marlin the clownfish. That's not really how, I'm a superhero in my mind. I mean, because most dads, if you're like me at all, I don't consider myself living in fear, but I am one of these guys that wants to be prepared for anything that may happen. If you're like me, you're that dad that every time you take your family into a restaurant, or maybe you and your wife go to a movie in the theater, or maybe you envision how an invasion might happen in your home, and you think about all of the violence that's taking place in our world, and you're creating these scenarios before they ever even happen. You're like strategically seating you and your family in a particular place. I mean, you've already worked this whole scenario out in your mind, like an active shooter has come into the room. And I mean, in your mind, you have gone like all Matrix. I mean, like it's slow motion. I mean, you're saving everybody. You're going to town and you have saved the day, because that's what we do. We're superheroes. We save the day. I'll do whatever it takes to shut this thing down. And we think of ourselves more of a combination of Wyatt Earp and Rambo and Chuck Norris, all wrapped up with that handsome debonair style of James Bond, all the James Bonds from Connery on. But if the truth be known, we're more like Joseph. If the truth be known, we're more like Marlin the clownfish. Because the truth is, parenting is scary. Becoming a parent is fun, but actually parenting is scary. I'll never forget our first child, Bliss. She was born in 2007. I guess it's a combination, one, of her being the firstborn. I'm brand new to this fathering thing and trying to figure it out. And then you couple that with the fact that she's a girl. So, you know, as dads, we automatically want to protect our girls. And so I felt like I was always sort of keeping her in this bubble. And I was always scared. I didn't want anybody holding her. I wanted to just guard everything. I was so afraid that, you know, any little thing might happen that would harm her. And it was just almost to the point of just being a nervous wreck most of the time. And I'll never forget, there's a picture of this. My father-in-law was in town for the baby dedication of Bliss, and there's a picture where every time my father-in-law does a baby dedication, he does something that I'm scared to do, because I know I can be a little clumsy sometimes, but he'll hold the baby up like this. And so there's a picture, we're in our old church over on Long Cedar Road, and my father-in-law's holding Bliss up as a baby, just like this right here, and I'm holding the microphone for him while he's praying. And if you look at me in the picture, I'm not praying, I'm not being reverent, I'm not doing anything I'm supposed to be doing at that time in the picture. I just have my eyes on my baby girl, because if this guy, my father-in-law, drops my baby, we're going to have problems here today. We're going to go from an anointed worship service to some throwdown on the platform. No, I would never do that to my good father-in-law. But I remember that first child, and then then how many of you have two or more kids? Raise your hand. Okay, how many of you know it's different when the second one comes along? Have you ever noticed that? And I think for me, again, it was kind of twofold. Number one, it was the second one. I kind of got all those jitters out, you know. And then number two, it was a boy. You know, we know that boys can take care of themselves. They can defend them. They can, you know. And so I'll never forget one day. This is when it all hit me and dawned on me how different it is. I'm sitting in my recliner in the living room, and I'm flipping through the channels. In Boston, he was at that stage where he wasn't walking yet, you know, but he was picking himself up on furniture or whatever, and he'd walk, you know, kind of holding the furniture. And our TV sat on this little buffet-type cabinet, wooden cabinet, that had these doors on it like this. And he had this bad habit of just going around and opening and slamming doors, opening and slamming cabinets and drawers. And so this particular day, I'm watching TV, and he's climbing up on the buffet there, and he's grabbing the cabinet door, and he's opening and slamming. And I'm sitting there laying in that remote in my hand in the recliner, and I'm thinking, I'll be so glad when he finally smashes those fingers so he'll learn his lesson and quit doing this. That's when it dawned on me that we have these different things that we do. But parenting is scary. And it would be one thing if they just stayed in one phase, right? But they keep phasing out. They keep phasing out from one phase to another. They go from the infant stage, and then they're in that toddler stage. How many of you dads will be honest with me today and raise your hand and confess before me, God, and everybody in this room that it, maybe just for an instant, maybe just for a moment, but somewhere in the toddler stage, you lost that child? Raise your hand. Come on now, be honest. The rest of you that aren't raising your hand, you're liars, okay? And God's got a place for you. I'm just telling you right now, okay? I'm just messing with you. You know you lost that toddler one time or another. There's the toddler stage, and then there's those preteen years. It's kind of a little weird, and like you don't know. And then there's the teenage years where you want to wring their neck. And then there's that one. Oh, I got some hallelujahs in the house right now, Donna. Woo! Jesus is here today. He's speaking to us. And there's that one phase that I don't even want to think about right now—the father of the bride phase. How many of you have had to go through that phase? It's scary. Parenting. It's scary. And so this is why I chose Joseph today. This is why I chose Marlon today. Oh, I like to think Rambo and Wyatt Earp, but let's be honest, I'm more like Joseph. One time, Joseph lost his kid too. He was a full day's journey out of the city. Tell me, Joseph, how do you explain to God the Father that you lost his son and it took you 3 days to find him? But see, there's a nobility in spite of the chagrin. There's a real courage here that we find in Joseph, because in the middle of great frustration, nobility stands up. Real courage is different than what we've made up in our minds. We think real courage is Schwarzenegger and shotguns, but real courage is, in spite of all of my questions and in spite of all of my shortcomings, I just do the best I can with what I've got and with what I know right now. I want to encourage our dads today. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep being faithful to your family. Keep being faithful to the house of God. Keep serving. You may say to your child, sometimes I'll lose you. But because you're my child, because I'm your dad, I promise you, if I lose you, I am going to find you. And I'll do whatever it takes to make sure that you are taken care of. See, the truth is, guys, dads, God made us that way. He made us that way. He made us to be fixers. I mean, it's our nature to be fixers. We want to fix things. We want to take something that's broken and put it back together again. But a little wisdom for all of us, one that I still haven't figured out after 17 years of marriage. Guys, if our wives come to us and begin to talk to us about a problem they have or an issue they're dealing with, or they just want to vent, they don't want us to fix their problem. Has anybody learned that lesson the hard way like me? Like, I immediately, okay, well, we can fix this. They don't want that. They just want you to let them cry and let them talk about it and just empathize and sympathize with them. And then they're going to feel better if they just get off their chest. But we want to fix it. I'm learning that. I'm still learning that the hard way. But courage is doing what's right, even when it's not easy. Here's a good manly quote for us from the good old John Wayne. He said, courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. That's what real courage is. Scared to death and saddling up anyway. Courage is showing up. Sometimes just showing up makes you a hero. Dads, granddads, I'm here. I don't have all the answers. I can't fix everything, but hey, I'm present. I'm here, I'm with you, and I ain't going anywhere. I love the honesty in this text from the Message verse. It says, Joseph, chagrined but noble, determined to take care of things quietly so Mary would not be disgraced. There's something in a man that wants to lighten the load of his lady and take the pressure off of her. So we'll do things that we'd rather not do because our love for her trumps our desire not to do it. And Joseph found nobility, saying, I don't understand this, and I have questions, but I love my wife. And nobility says, I will honor you, and I'm going to do what I'm really not even real sure about. In verse 20, again in the Message, it says, while he was trying to figure a way out, while he was trying to fix it, he had a dream. God's angel spoke in the dream, Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. Once again, you've got to love the honesty of this text. The beginning of verse 20, it says, while he was still trying to figure it out. Joseph is trying to figure a way out, but God lets him know, you're the man for the job. I've called you to this place. I have called you to this purpose and this destiny. You are the man for the job. I believe the greatest plight, if not the greatest, or one of the greatest, if not the greatest, plights in our society today is the absence of a father. We see it. You see it every day. The issues that we see in our world today, that they're not necessarily because of drugs. It's not because of this thing and this rampant thing that's going on. It all comes back to the home. When you see problems, you see an absence of that father figure. Because for many, when the going gets tough, they're looking for a way out. They're kind of thinking like Joseph was initially. Let me just figure a way out of this. But one of the most courageous acts a man can do is simply take responsibility for himself and for his family, and he doesn't leave, even though things get difficult. A courageous man leans in instead of out when life gets tough. The word that best describes a good man is this, responsible. Responsible, that's an overlooked and unsung song, a word sometimes. Responsible, that's what a real man is. He's responsible. Real men don't run from responsibility. Real men look for the opportunity and run to responsibility. Many years ago, there was a great tragedy that happened in our community here. There was a call that was made, a 911 call that was made. A man was firing off a gun, and our sheriff's department responded. And one of those deputies that responded, his name was Roy Gonzalez, and he gets out and he runs into the situation, and he was fatally wounded in that moment from a gunshot. But many of you will remember that story and what happened, but the thing that stands out most to me about that whole thing that happened was on the day of that incident, the little 9-year-old boy who's now fatherless, the little 9-year-old boy of this now slain sheriff deputy comes up to Sheriff Kevin Cobb, then Chief Deputy Kevin Cobb, and he asked him the question. He says, why did my dad have to go? Whew. Why did my dad have to be the one? Man, I don't envy this man's job at all. What a load. What a weight. A 9-year-old boy whose dad is now deceased, and he's looking in your eyes and saying, why my dad? Well, Kevin, in all of his wisdom, didn't answer that question right away. But over the coming days, he would ponder that question. And it was in Roy's memorial service that then Chief Deputy Kevin Cobb would address that very question to that 9-year-old boy. And he told him, why your dad? I'll tell you why your dad. Because he was your dad. Because that's who your dad was. And that's what your dad did. Because your dad ran toward danger when others would run from danger. Your dad went on that call because he chose to go on that call, because that's who your dad was. Because he was your dad, he went into harm's way so that you or no one else would have to. Because he was your dad, he went on that call, and he went on that call for you. Man, I got the coolest sheriff in the world. Because that's what real dads do. Courage means I get up every day and I do the best I can. I have the courage to give it all I've got. Courage means I go to work and I show up and I give my best. Courage means you go to your child's, your daughter's dance recital, even though they're only going to dance for 2 minutes in a 3-hour and 45-minute long program, and it takes courage to sit through 3 hours and 43 minutes to watch that 2 minutes of your little 4-year-old turn around 3 times, tap that foot 4 times in that $100 outfit you bought for them for that 30 seconds, and they walk off the stage. It takes courage to do that. It takes courage to go to that T-ball game when your child sits there and swings for 5 minutes hitting nothing but the tee. And then when they finally make contact, they run to third base instead of first. It takes courage. Courage means you do what you did this morning. You get up early. You get dressed. You load the family up. You go by Licking Good Donuts and you come to church. And you do it week in and week out. You do it during hunting season, and you do it when it's the only day that week that you actually got to sleep in. Courage says we're going to do what's right. We're going to honor God first and put him first in everything in our life. Courage means that you work hard and you bring home a paycheck no matter how small it is. I'm doing what I can with what I've got. Our families become so much stronger when they know Daddy's not going anywhere. You want to hear an amazing phrase in the English language? You want to hear one of the most comforting phrases in the entire English language? Daddy's home. Daddy's home. That's the most amazing phrase. I love some of these hitch work moms and wives, Keisha. I love sometimes on that day before they're coming home or the day they're coming home, sometimes they'll go on Facebook and they'll put, "Today's coming home day. Daddy's coming home today." Everything's going to change in our lives. For the last 14 days, it's been a different life. But today is coming home day. Daddy's coming home. When the man clocks out of work, he clocks in at home. It takes courage. It takes courage for a man to change a diaper, especially those loaded ones. It takes courage to fix supper. It takes courage to help your kids with homework that you don't have a clue what it's about, and you put on the poker face and do it best you can. It takes courage to unload the dishwasher. It takes courage to fold the clothes. It takes courage to pay the bills. That's a superhero. Courage is leading your family in a fractured and a messed up world. Verse 24 says, "Then Joseph woke up. He did exactly what God's angel commanded in the dream." He did exactly what God said for him to do. The verse right before that, he's looking for a way out. But then God speaks, and he does exactly what God commanded. He didn't let confusion disrupt his obedience. I said he didn't let confusion mess up or disrupt his obedience. Too many times we allow our misunderstanding to turn into mistakes. Man, that's good. Too many times we allow misunderstandings to turn into mistakes. Don't allow what you don't know to keep you from your tomorrow. And I want to say to all of us dads today, outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is ours. Can I say that one again? The outcome is God's responsibility. The obedience to his voice is our responsibility. Joseph hears from God. He didn't know everything, but he did what he knew. He didn't know it all, but he worked with what he had. The greatest thing a father can do for his family is simply obey the voice of God. Obey the voice of God. And here's what I believe. You've heard me say it a million times before. I believe this with all of my heart. God doesn't just come along every now and then and talk to us. God doesn't just speak to the most spiritual people. I believe that God is always speaking, and he's always speaking to every single one of us. And so whether or not I have positioned myself emotionally, I've positioned myself even sometimes physically getting along, I've positioned myself spiritually in a place where I've opened my ears and saying, God, I want to hear what you have to say. I want to get rid of all the disruptions. I want to get rid of all of the distractions. And God, I want to hear. And I believe that when we position ourselves in that way, he will speak to us. I believe he'll show us things about our children and their future. I believe he'll give us direction and wisdom that goes far beyond our own human understanding. And I'm closing. I've been going long enough today because I got a little something special I want to do here at the end. A kid was asked one time, describe Father's Day. And the little boy said, well, it's kind of like Mother's Day, except you don't spend as much on the present. That's probably true. But kids need their father to be the rock, a father who leads the way that God intended, a father who provides security and safety in his home. He teaches his children what is right and wrong. He models service in his home. He points his children to the light of the world. He tells his children about Jesus. He models his faith in his interactions with his neighbors and his fellow man. And the kid sees that. They see more than we give them credit for. They know more than we want to believe that they know. We may never lead an army into battle like Mel Gibson did when we were soldiers. We may not be like Mel Gibson when he played the part of William Wallace in Braveheart, but when we live with the courage every day to be the man that God has called us to be, we will be the hero of our home. Corey Wright, you're going to be the hero of your home when Canaan gets here. He's already here. We just hadn't seen him yet. I've tried my best today to make up to you guys for using Marlin the Clownfish, so I've interjected some of the man movies and man lines from some of the big guns in film. So here's another John Wayne quote that doesn't have anything to do with anything I've said, doesn't have any spiritual meaning whatsoever. I just want to make you feel more manly today on Father's Day. John Wayne said, "Life is hard. It's even harder when you're stupid." You know, you've heard it said, there's some things you can't fix. Can't fix stupid. Thank you, CC, for that one. Now back to you and me and Marlin the Clownfish. Marlin's son's needs trumped his doubts and his questions. That's what we do, dads. That's what we do when we're scared to death. We still saddle up. When there's fear, I referenced Roy Gonzalez a while ago, and as I was thinking about his story in life, I thought about how there's been multiple occasions where I've had the privilege of getting to do some ride-alongs with our sheriff's department late at night. And I want to tell you something, we're not Mayberry. I know they do a good job of making it feel and look like Mayberry around here, but it ain't. You know, there's some rough creatures out here in Franklin Parish. And some of them mean harm. And I've watched and been a part of, even at some level, watching these guys who put on that badge and put on that uniform and drive those units. And I know, and I've watched it and I've seen it, there is fear every time they get out of that unit. If they're being honest with you, they're not the tough guy that they look like when you see them in the grocery store on the street or driving down the road in that car. They're scared. They're fearful when it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And they're pulling that vehicle over, or they're having to walk into that house that they don't know what's going to be on the other side of the door. They're scared, but you know what? They do it. They saddle up anyway, and that's courage. Courage is not being the macho and saying, I can do this, I can fix it. No, courage is doing it anyway, even when I'm scared. Verse 25 said, but he did not consummate the marriage until she had the baby. He named the baby Jesus. Notice that. He named the baby. Joseph got the naming rights. He was conceived in Mary's womb, and he entered the world through Mary. He had the DNA of his heavenly father, but his earthly daddy, Joseph, the one who raised him, the one who taught him how to work, the one who taught him honor, the one who taught him how to live, the one who taught him the value of worship. God said to Joseph, you go ahead. I'm giving you naming rights. You name him. And he named him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Joseph got the naming rights, and Joseph gave him his identity. Joseph spoke his identity over him. One of the greatest compliments I ever get, sometimes I get it when they say, tell me how much they I remind them of my dad. And I'm just, we'll joke and laugh and all this kind of stuff and make little snide comments when that happens, but the truth of the matter is, nothing makes my head swell more. Nothing makes me prouder than when somebody says, you remind me of your dad. When you said that, you sounded like your dad. When you did this, you looked like your dad. When you did that particular thing, there's such a great, great compliment to me. And the truth is, I'm not even a tenth of this man. But it is funny how that as I get older, my father seems to come out of me in so many different scenarios. Because the truth is, I was shaped by him. And the fact is, I got my identity from my father. One of the greatest mantras, if you will, that he is leaving with me and has given to me over these years is joy, J-O-Y. And I hope that somehow our family, I hope that somehow in my life, I've lived my life this way because he gave me this. It's joy, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, yourself. And in that order, Jesus, others, yourself. In that order, Jesus, others, yourself. I love the taglines like, I'll be back, and go ahead, punk, make my day. I love that. But today we've got Marlon. And Marlon's line was, because he was so afraid, panicking, I'm dead, I'm dead, I'm dying, I'm dead. The truth is, that's what fatherhood is. I'm chagrined, but I'm noble. I've got questions, but I'm going with what I know. And when God needed a man to father his son, he went after a man who was chagrined, but noble. He went after a man who was determined to take care of his wife and his family. He went after a man who was trying to figure a way out, but had a dream, even though he couldn't figure it all out, and he did exactly what God commanded. And in return, he got the naming rights, and he helped his boy find his identity, which was God saves. So today, as we close out this service, here's what I want to ask you to do today. Could I ask all of our fathers to stand for a moment today? Just stand across this room if you're a dad. And I want to tell you something. There may be those of you in this room today, I don't know, but you may be a father figure in this room today. You've had to serve. You stepped up to the plate when someone else didn't, and you served as a dad in someone's life. I want you to stand if that's you. You know who you are. And I'm glad to see Corey standing. And is Layton still in here? Where is Layton here? I want to see Layton now. He was here a minute ago. He must have got offended by the preaching. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Y'all tell him I said that. If you're an expecting dad, I want you to stand today. And we want to bless you today. We want to pray over you today. And listen, I know that what I'm about to do can sometimes make us feel a little bit uncomfortable for some people. But I want to tell you, you're among friends today. In fact, you're not just among friends today. You're among brothers today. You're among men that want to sharpen iron with you today. You got men standing around you today that will pray for you when you need someone to pray for you without judgment. You got men standing around you today who will be a confidant when you need it, and you can trust them. That's what you got today. So here's what I want to ask us to do, if you will. In just a second, I want to ask all of our moms and wives and children and everyone else that's in the room, in a moment, I'm going to have you stand as well. And as you stand, I want to ask all of our dads, if you will, could we just kind of make our way into this altar area today together as men? And here's what I want to ask you to do. I know you may not be a touchy-feely type person. I'm not going to ask you to do all that. But I will ask you to do this. As you make your way down here to the front of this room, if you would just kind of easily or slightly or gently just place your hand on the shoulder of the dad that's standing next to you. And in your own way, it could be a whisper, it could just be quietly to yourself, but could you just kind of position yourself and begin to speak and pray over that brother that stands next to you, that God will give wisdom and guidance and leadership, that His Holy Spirit will lead and guide them in every step of fatherhood or grandfatherhood or whatever phase they're in their life right now. And I want to ask us to do that together. And as we pray for one another, I'm going to ask all of the moms and the wives and the children in the room today to stand and extend your hands forward and pray over our dads today. And I want the greatest dad, in my opinion, in the room today to come to this platform, and I want him to pray over us today. And as that happens, I want you to be reminded, as all this is happening today, I want you to be reminded of something today. And I mean this with all of my heart. I believe it, and I can put an army of people up here that'll back it up with me. I believe the men that are standing in this room right now are the greatest men to ever walk in shoe leather. I mean that. There are some heroes in this room right now. Look around. Can we just honor these incredible heroes? So dads, would you do that with me now? Would you go ahead and make your way to the front with me today? And moms and wives and children, would you stand across this room? And I want you to come and just maybe link a shoulder or an arm with somebody. Place your hand on somebody's back, if you will. Dads and fathers, now I want us to bless one another today. I want us to bless one another today. I want us to pour into one another's lives today. This is not just a thing that we do. We don't just come together on Sunday morning. We want to change the world, and we want to see one another change by the power of His Spirit, and this is how it happens. Thank you, dads. Y'all squeeze on in a little closer, if you will, because there's some coming behind you there. God bless you. Thank you. Y'all just squeeze on in. Oh, I love you. I love you, man. You're look at this. Isn't this amazing? Boy, wow. I want Papa George, Bishop, Daddy of the Year, Grandfather of the Year, I want him to come and pray a blessing over you. All of you that stand in this auditorium today, I want you to stretch your hand forward, and they're going to pray. And then after we pray today, pray over you, I want to, I got one last bit of instruction for you before you walk out the door today.
Poured into my life, and there are those that's been the example of what I want to be, and I'm grateful for each of these that are standing, leaders in this community, but more important, leaders in our homes and in this church. So Lord, as we bow before the throne of God right now, I want to thank you for each of these that stand here representing such a high calling in life, and that is fatherhood. Thank you for bringing them to the place where they're at, where we're all at today, at the feet of Jesus. I pray that you'll bless their homes, their children, their family. We will leave here today better people because we came and spent this time with you and with one another. Forgive us of our shortcomings. Forgive us of our faults and our sins. And renew within us the joy of that calling of fatherhood. Thank you for each of these. And we speak the blessings of heaven upon them. We speak your favor upon them.
Yes.
And upon their children, upon their families.
Yes.
We pray this in the name of our Father. Our Father, who has never forsaken us.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Who has never left us alone. That has always been with us and for us. And that's the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.